This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
Hello, all you Bulls fans, and welcome to another episode of the Sports Ethos Chicago Bulls coverage show. I'm your host, Keith Cork, and I am joined, of course, by my good buddy and co-host here, Mr. Trey Hill, to break down a Bulls unfortunate loss here, 124-130 to the Atlanta Hawks in a game they really should have won, Trey. I thought there were lots and lots of missed opportunities there. Not the sharpest game the Bulls played. They played well in stretches. The Hawks just hit shots in longer stretches and the Bulls played well, I suppose. I know we say we were going to have a recap for you here, but I did get the night off from work. So yeah, for that. But yeah, Trey, what do you think, man? Pretty winnable game, right?
Extremely winnable game. It was nice to see Vucevic and Thompson play together. But what it really boiled down to was the Hawks took care of the ball. And they only had 5 turnovers. The Bulls, in contrast, had 13. And they were able to get to the free throw line. Whether, you know, they were all, whether some of it was baiting the refs into it, you know, doing the Trae Young type of things, they were able to shoot 28 free throws tonight, whereas the Bulls shot 7. So that's the easy way to explain why the Bulls weren't able to pull out a victory.
Yeah, sloppy with the basketball at times. I'm not going to put this on the refs. I've complained probably more about the refs this season than I have in the past, probably just because I'm doing this show. I never really had to vocalize my thoughts, but I usually don't put things on refs. And I do think that maybe you could make a case that, you know, the Hawks are getting more calls than the Bulls were. I'll point to that fourth quarter where
Hawks do a good job of forcing the refs into calling things. I'm not putting it on the refs as if I want the refs to not blow the whistle. I know they have to blow the whistle. It's just that's kind of the Hawks style. That's what they do. And they do a good job of it. It's how they win games. And that and the magic of Trae Young. He was just a closer tonight.
Well, I'll point to the where there might be a case here. You know, a lot of people are probably going to point to that fourth quarter with a couple minutes left when Trae Young pretty much traveled with the basketball. They didn't call it. It led to a bogey 3. I don't know why in the world. I don't remember who it was. I think it might have been Kobe White was guarding Bogey in the corner and decided to leave Bogey in the corner to double team Trae Young in the middle of the paint with 3 other Bulls defenders around after he picked up the dribble. And all of a sudden, you know, now Bogey's hitting a 3 in the and wide open corner. It's just infuriating. Total lack of awareness there.
Let's hope that's a coachable moment. And so we avoid that happening come playoff time.
But they didn't call.
You're right. That was a rough play for whoever it was that was guarding Bogey.
Trae did travel before that, though. They didn't call it. And then DeMar DeRozan traveled the very next play, and they did call it. So there are some cases you can make that, you know, maybe the refs weren't exactly even the whole entire game. But that's tough to do. They're humans. I didn't think they did a terrible job. But, yeah, we are the Sports Ethos Chicago Bulls show, and I want to go ahead and just remind you listeners to go please take a moment to follow at @EthosFantasyBK on Twitter. It's the single most dominant basketball and fantasy news feed on earth. Get all your NBA news in one handy Twitter feed. It's faster than the competition and provides more analysis, too. Again, that's at @EthosFantasyBK on Twitter. Go follow it. No! I'm just going to say it differently every time. Yeah, so I loved what I saw from Javonte Green in the opening of the game, Trey. His activity in the offense. I think he had like the first like 5 shots on the for the Bulls. Just energy, man. He only played 21-ish minutes tonight. Like you said, I think part of that's because the Bulls wanted to get a look at Vucevic next to Tristan Thompson. And that was kind of a mixed bag. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But Javonte Green, let me give him his flowers real quick. 3 of 7 from the field, 8 points, only 2 rebounds. So, but his activity, man, I just love what he brings there. I wish he probably would have gotten a few more minutes here tonight. But I think the Bulls were trying to experiment a little bit with the double bigs there. Tristan Thompson.
And he consistently does that from game to game, whether it's the game before this one, starting out with the dunk. And I think he had a couple buckets early on. He's an energy guy from the get-go, and that's one of the things I love about having him in the starting lineup.
2 of 3 from three-pointers also. So, I think he just brings that energy, and I think we probably could have used him in spurts tonight also. I was a little surprised they did the double big thing tonight without John Collins in the lineup. Obviously they've got Clint Capella. They didn't even have Nkongwu tonight, so I just didn't feel like it was necessary, really, but I did want to see it. I liked what I saw in some aspects. Especially on the defensive end, I think defensively it just shores up a lot of our weaknesses with Tristan Thompson, who is just a really stellar communicator on the defensive end. But also he has the ability to trap the pick and roll, which Vooch just does not. And he has the ability to switch and to communicate when he's, you know, taking someone's man and saying, hey, go out there and double or whatever. I've got yours. And it's just something that we've sorely missed with Vooch. And I don't want to knock Vooch again. Trey, I feel like I'm doing it every week. It's just something that some players excel at. We saw Joakim Noah in Chicago, obviously, was one of the best people we've seen do it here. But it's just not something that Vooch has in his skill set, right, is being able to communicate that backline defense.
Not only that, but so what I saw was they were still pulling Vooch out to the perimeter by using his guy to set the screen. But having Tristan Thompson on the backline, having a legit rim protector who is a legitimate shot blocking threat. It's not Tyler Cook back there, but it's also not Tony Bradley. He's Thompson's just much more athletic. You know, he can cover a lot more ground, and he can help Vooch recover whenever he gets tangled in those pick and rolls. So to me, I don't even see it as Thompson offering something that Vucevic doesn't. I think if you swapped their positions, if you pulled Thompson out into the pick and roll, I think Vucevic, he's a little bit slower, but he also is a little bit bigger. I think he'd be able to cover the back line about just as well. To me, I think it's having those two rim protectors out there, because when you pull Vucevic out that far, if Thompson's not the guy out there, you have DeMar DeRozan as your guy protecting the rim, and that's like not having a rim protector at all.
Yeah, and we've seen what happens with that, in that screen and roll. Even if we guard the pick and roll first action well, somebody will inevitably cut to the basket, and there's just absolutely no resistance there at the basket, and they just get wide open dunks and layups all day, every day, forever and ever, ad infinitum, however you say that. So no.
And Tristan Thompson solves that problem. He will get down there, and he will contest shots. And Vucevic recovers pretty well. He's good at reading. He's good at reading the defenses and getting in the correct spot. He's just not the most athletic guy.
So the downside is the offensive end, just a weird fit, obviously. I know I was talking a little bit with Will Gottlieb, I think you pronounce it, on Twitter here, and just discussing, when Tristan Thompson is the role guy, he's the guy that's setting the screen and rolling to the basket. You've got Vooch basically posting up in the corner for the three-point shot and attempting to space the floor. So doesn't necessarily use Vooch's skill set to his maximum ability, but it is something.
Did you catch the time where they both, like, Vucevic had the ball kind of like extended out from the post, and Tristan was on the post, and they both kind of posted up at the same time? It was very awkward.
So I don't think this is a long-term solution. I think it's something you can do in small spurts. I think it's something you can do if you play teams like Cleveland, or teams that have multiple bigs. If you played Boston, if they have Horford and Robert Williams out there at the same time, I think it's something you can pull out there. But I don't think it's something that we want to do. It's not like we're starting Tristan Thompson now power forward. That's just not going to happen.
So here's my breakdown of it. Did you feel like you enjoyed the Twin Towers combination more in the first half than the second half?
Yeah, I think I did.
I think the reason for that is in the first half, DeMar DeRozan wasn't on the floor with them. And DeMar doesn't offer that three-point spacing, neither does Thompson. But when they did it in the first half, DeMar was on the bench, and it was Zach LaVine.
Was it Troy Brown?
Troy Brown and maybe Kobe White all guys that space the floor, and Vucevic also spaces the floor. So Thompson being the only guy that wasn't a three-point shooter, it really opened up the – those guys had to guard the three-point line a little bit. So what it really opened up, I thought, was the ability for Thompson to crash the boards. Whereas when DeMar is in there and he's, you know, he's pulling everyone into that mid-range, it kind of – it takes away some of the advantage. So – to me, I think if you're going to try and maximize the Thompson-Vucevic lineups, you surround Thompson with four shooters and you give him that space down low to just kind of be, you know, active all the time and like a supersized Javonte Green.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time is subject to change. Max one offer per account.
Close your eyes and imagine what you'll look like 6 months from now. How's your hair look? The same? Now picture how your hair would look if you started using Hims. If you're picturing the same you as before, but with much thicker and fuller hair, you'd be correct. What can happen in 3 to 6 months? You could pick up a new hobby and get not that good at it yet. You could do about half of your New Year's resolution. You could learn a few songs on the piano, or pick up bass guitar. Or you could start seeing thicker, fuller hair regrowth through Hims. Not bad for just 3 to 6 months. Men, if you're starting to notice your hair thinning when you look in the mirror, you're not alone. Life just gets busier and busier, and it can feel like there's not enough time in the day to do something about it. So, try Hims Hair Loss Solutions. You can avoid jumping through a bunch of frustrating hoops and get access to treatment without even leaving your home. Hims provides you with the convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary based on studies on topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
News just in. Bet365 is now live in Illinois.
That's right. Join Bet365 today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet $5, win or lose.
That's amazing.
That's for sure. With Bet365, you can bet on the spread, totals, and money line.
Well, there you have it, Illinois. Download the Bet365 app and get your $150 in bonus bets today.
And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Illinois. T's and C's apply.
It's just that we don't, you know, when we have our starters out there, it's not like necessarily, like you said, not necessarily the ideal thing, but it can work. And I think that you're right. And hopefully that's something that the Bulls coaches and something that they'll pull from the tape and learn from is that when you do have those shooters out there, maybe you can throw a Matt Thomas out there also. He didn't get into the game tonight, but, if you need some more shooting or more spacing, that's a guy I would look at also. So just more spacing for him. I thought Troy Brown obviously had a really good game. He shot 3 from 3 from the field, hit all 3 shots. All 3 of them were 3-pointers. That's exactly what we need from him in limited minutes. You know, he's played about 15 minutes. Hitting your shots, being active. I think he grabbed 2 boards, and one of them was offensive. So he did grab an offensive board there, had a steal. So just being active, putting in your minutes and being efficient when you do get a chance to shoot the basketball. That's what we need from Troy Brown Jr. He did a pretty good job tonight. But But yeah, a bit of a mixed bag with that double big lineup, Trey. I don't mind it in small stretches and against certain matchups, but I just don't think it's going to be something we do a whole lot. You know what really ticks me off, Trey, and it's happened to us a whole lot, is getting beat down the floor on made baskets. What is with that? We make a basket. Even on free throws, I've seen it happen against the Bulls. We make a basket, and you would think, we know, because we've learned since third or fourth grade, you know, hey, I make a basket, I run back on defense. But we just keep getting beat. I know NBA teams try to, you know, capitalize on that and get the ball out quickly. But does that frustrate you as much as it frustrates me?
It does. If I wanted to try and give them an excuse, they've played a lot of minutes with how many injuries they've had. So they're tired. So, you know, sometimes they're going to get beat down the court. But no, and Atlanta especially, it seemed like they were really taking advantage of the transition three. Mm-hmm. It seemed like a lot of their, three-point makes were coming off of just running down the court, forcing the Bulls to collapse into the paint, and just kicking out to wide-open shooters.
Yeah, that transition three really, really killed us. And just, again, you know, lack of communication, lack of awareness on the Bulls' part as far as that goes. I say that, you know, sitting from the couch, I'm not an NBA player, obviously. It's not the easiest thing in the world. It's not like there's other stuff that I think that they missed that is easy. But this finding shooters in transition is probably one of the hardest things to do at the NBA level. You see it all the time. Every single NBA game, you see open shooters, you know, getting to the 3-point line and getting wide open shots in transition, because it's just hard. It's hard to say, should I take this guy? Should I, you know, sink to the basket and guard this guy that's, you know, cutting to the basket for a layup or a dunk? There's a lot of question marks in your mind when you have that out there. So your body able to fully commit to making a choice in the moment is really difficult, because you have to have a quick mind and a quick body to do both things. I don't have that, so I can't criticize these guys too much. I definitely don't have the quick body part. Maybe I have the quick mind part, but I definitely don't have the quick body part. But yeah, a little bit frustrating, but the Hawks really did a great job capitalizing on that. I thought Zach LaVine looked really, really good again tonight, Trey. You know, I know we got those comments over the last few days that he said, you know, his knee's not 100%. It's not going to be 100% this season. I saw a lot of people on Bulls Twitter, Trey, freaking out about this, saying if we don't have a full 100% Zach LaVine, we're not going to stand a chance in the playoffs, which I think is absolute bullshit. I don't think I believe that at all. I think if we have an 85-90% Zach LaVine, I think it's totally fine. I think he's looked great in the games he's been out there. What does he look like to you, Trey? I mean, have you seen what I'm seeing, or does he look like he's hobbled out there?
I think he looks fine. And when it comes to playoff time, you get more rest. There's more time in between games. And it sounds like Zach's problem is he plays a game and then it swells up. And then, you know, he has to go for treatment. So when it comes to the back-to-backs or having 4 games in 5 nights, that's just not something where you want to put that wear and tear on it. But come playoff time, those aren't that's not the schedule. So as long as he can get to the playoffs, I think we're going to get 90% Zach LaVine, maybe even 95%.
And that's absolutely fine, man. I I've been saying it for a while now, and you agree with me, I believe. But, you know, he's not the most – he is the star of the team, and we want him to, you know, take the shots and the big-time shots and hit big-time shots. But, that's not the entirety of the game. And he's not the most important piece of this Bulls puzzle. I'd put Vooch up there as maybe the most important piece. I'm going to put Lonzo Ball and Patrick Williams up there too. But I think Lonzo Ball would probably be my answer as far as the most important piece for just missing that spacing so much. A guy that can space and also play some point of attack defense would just be – that would solve so many of our problems right now. And Zach's not that guy. And I love Zach. He's a very gifted offensive player. He's got holes in his game, and that's okay. You know, he's still an all-star, still an all-NBA type player. I don't think he's ever going to win MVP in his career, but hey, maybe he surprises me. He had his best season last season, and we saw really good things. But I thought he had another really good game tonight, basically, is what I'm trying to say. Saw him really creating for others in those first couple quarters. Third quarter, Zach LaVine is equal to fourth quarter DeMar DeRozan. Third quarter, Zach LaVine goes out and gets buckets, man. And I'm here for it, and I love seeing it. Did have a turnover.
It's like he takes everything into, you know, he figures everything out in the first half on what the team's doing against him. Then he just comes out in the third quarter and puts it on him. And while Zach does have holes in his game, and Vucevic, you know, he is our only big that does all of the things that we need in a big for this kind of offense. So, you know, he might be the most vital. I think Zach is the most important part of the offense. Having a guy who can create his own shot, when there's 4 seconds left on all three levels and be a threat on all three levels to score like he is. I think that unlocks everything else to work, having him out there.
I don't have handy our record with him off the floor, but I know it's probably pretty good, but that's because DeMar DeRozan has saved our butts many times. So I can't necessarily argue with you there, but I think that they would be fine even if Zach LaVine didn't play in the playoffs. I think we still even would have a chance to win a playoff series. That's what I would put out there.
I think they would. I mean, I think they would be fine, but I don't think DeMar would have to make nearly as tough of shots whenever he was playing. And I would also note that I think a lot of the games that Zach missed, how many of those games did Lonzo and Caruso play?
Yeah, I don't know. Off the top of my head,
there's a lot of ifs, ands, or buts in there. And if you have DeMar or Zach and both Lonzo and Caruso, I think that's a better overall team than just having the two scorers. So, but I think Zach really unlocks a lot for DeMar when he's able to be out there. I think DeMar gets higher quality shots, if nothing else.
Zach LaVine, 22 points on 8 of 14 shooting, 4 of 7 from beyond the arc, 2 of 2 from the line, 7 assists and 4 turnovers. A few too many turnovers. He did have a turnover there with about, I believe, 4 minutes left in the fourth quarter, where we've seen it before when he tries to dribble with his left hand. I don't know if that thumb is still bothering him. I don't think it is. He said it's completely healed, but seems to be making turnovers on that left hand when he tries to start his drive with that quite often this season.
They're 7-5 without Zach on the court.
Right about
500.
One thing I did notice also, Trey, this was in the first quarter, just kind of watching both teams on offense. It's just kind of funny to me. I'm laughing because I'm looking at the spacing on the Hawks offense as opposed to the spacing on the Bulls offense. It's like night and day, man, because you've got Trey Young, you've got Kevin Huerter out there and some other guys that can just bogey that can just step, you know, basically a foot behind the 3-point line and just yak them all day. The Bulls have Zach LaVine that can do that. He doesn't really shoot it from out there that often, but he can do that. He has. And, you know, that's basically it. I mean, you have Lonzo Ball when he's healthy, but right now he's out, obviously. So you just watch the spacing on both sides. Just go back if you have league pass like I do. Go back and watch that first quarter and just look at the spacing that the Hawks are able to create with that kind of a threat from the deep that they have. You'll just see there's so much open space in the center of the floor. The Bulls just don't have that. So we got to get Lonzo Ball back, man. That helps our spacing.
Io will shoot above the, you know, outside the corner. But other than that, like, Javonte Green, I feel like he likes to shoot in the corners. Troy Brown Jr., almost all of his shots, I think, come from the corner. So when you can't stretch, you know, that vertically up above the 3-point line, you know, you can only stretch so far in the corners.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just fine to me. Just seeing and then it's even more impressive when you see that to think about what DeMar DeRozan has done and where he gets his buckets from, which is right in that clutter crap of people that are right in the middle of the lane, which is just, it's just so impressive. Speaking of DeMar DeRozan, not getting the whistle lately, man. He was getting that whistle early and often all the way up through the All-Star break, basically. And since the All-Star break, I don't know if they're just getting more into playoff mode or something, Trey, but hasn't been getting those calls, right?
No, he hasn't. And I know I've heard people, you know, kind of rumblings about complaining about people getting, you know, too many free throws now and, you know, towards the second half of the season. The beginning of the season, guys weren't getting calls for anything. And I really enjoyed the kind of physical basketball we had towards the beginning of the year. It's kind of, you know, faded back. It's kind of regressed a little bit. They're still, you know, not nearly as bad as it was last year, but it's not quite like it was at the beginning of the season. So I don't know if DeMar is the only person who's not getting the calls he was getting earlier in the year, but he's one of the most affected, I would think.
Yeah. It's been a little frustrating just because it just seems inconsistent based on, you know, what we saw earlier in the season. But I liked what he did. I liked how he handled it better in this game, Trey, than last game, obviously, where he got the technical fouls. This game, I felt like he just played his game, wasn't as frustrated by the non-calls. He got up and just played through it. So that's what I want to see from him. Whether you get the call or not, you can complain in between plays. But, you know, when the play is happening on the court or when things are really heated, I'd like to just see him have a level head about it. And I think he did that tonight. So I enjoyed that.
Yeah, that was better tonight. I was trying to look up DeMar's free throw attempts the first half of the year. So up until January 14th, he was shooting 7.6 free throws a game. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, it's not. There we go.
And now he's averaging 4. No, I don't know. I'm gonna say 5.8. No, I'm gonna say 6.2.
6.2?
Yeah, it's my official guess.
All right. Now if I could only get it to work right. Of course, it's not going to work right.
Well, we're going to say he's averaging 6.2 now, and I'm absolutely upset about that. No, it's okay.
How about instead of 6.2, 8.5? So he's actually averaging a free throw more the last 21 games.
Well.
So maybe it's just we're just complaining because the Bulls have been losing and we feel like he needs to be getting more calls. But I do feel like he has been complaining a little bit more. You mentioned, you know, he got the technical fouls the other night. I do feel like he has been complaining more to the refs, and he's not a guy who usually complains. So I think there's some validity to what we were saying.
I think so too. I'm always right. So no, I always do. What was I going to say? Tristan Thompson, before the game, we saw that Twitter post, right, of him taking those right-handed jumpers 5 feet out from the basket and putting up brick after brick after brick. I think it was 5 or 6 bricks in a row. And people were kind of laughing at him on Twitter. Tonight, in an actual game situation, Trey, he hit his first 2 shots from that range. I don't know if they're left-handed or right-handed. I think they're both left-handed probably, but it doesn't matter. He hit them, and pretty happy about that. So just goes to show you, obviously, that even though in practice you might be missing that shot, working on it and getting up the reps is important. So I think it was kind of blown out of proportion that he was missing all those shots. So wouldn't you agree?
I would, though. Whenever I watched all those bricks the first time, it just made me think, and man, we give Vooch a hard time. But no, I was really happy for him because if he came out and missed the first 2 and they'd been breaks also, I feel like then it would have continued to be something, you know, it would have continued to be a thing on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Whereas the fact that he knocked down those first 2, yeah, it was funny. It happened before the game and then it was over with. So, yeah. Haha, it was a good chuckle, and now we get to move on.
We get to move on with our lives and talk about more exciting things like our brand new daily fantasy partner at Sports Ethos, Thrive Fantasy. Prop up with Thrive Fantasy on their mobile app or at thrivefantasy.com. Use code ETHOS when you sign up to get 100% deposit match bonus on your first deposit, up to $100, plus either 2 or 4 free game tickets to play. Pick player props on the biggest names playing every night, score points when your props hit, and the players with the most points win a share of the nightly prize money. And check out our Sports Ethos DFS team or podcast for advice on winners. Again, that code is ETHOS, ETHOS, over at thrivefantasy.com. Tristan Thompson, I mean, he had some positive minutes tonight, man. I am really becoming a fan of his as far as backup big minutes go. It's so, so nice to have a backup big that is competent at both scoring the basketball and defending the basketball, more so the defense. Obviously, he's got a limited offensive game, but he's always active out there, and I saw at least twice tonight that he drew a foul while working the boards on Capella 1, and the other one was somebody else. But just that kind of activity is, again, a dimension that we've been missing, Trey. So, no reason to ever play Tony Bradley again, and unless it's tomorrow when we're playing the Bucks and he's out there to give Grayson Allen a little elbow to the face, right?
Yeah, he should start, really, is where Tony Bradley's at with this. But no, Tristan Thompson, and he's only 30, so I think it was a good move for AK to get him. Maybe he might be able to stick around for the next couple of years. And really, I think him and Vucevic seem to, other than that one play I mentioned earlier, I think if they could play together a little bit and get a rhythm, Vucevic is such a good passer that I think they could really work well together and do some quality things on offense whenever DeMar's not on the court, especially when DeMar's not on the court and they have the space to work.
Yeah, I don't disagree. The Bulls are really moving the ball tonight too, Trey. 13, I know they had 13 assists on their first 16 baskets. They end up with, 30 assists on 52 baskets. So really, really moving the basketball. It wasn't a frustrating game to watch on the offensive end, really. There were times where obviously we didn't make a great play, but I felt like offensively we did fine. It's just the defense, man. We give up 130 points. I mean, oh, so frustrating. So, but yeah, really sharing the basketball out there.
Trae Young, like I think we need to just take a minute and shout out Trae Young. 7 of 9 from three, 10 of 10 from the free throw line, 39 points, 13 assists. They're in the fourth quarter. They were running those like stagger screens right at the top of the key, and he was just knocking down daggers to carry his team. And if the Hawks are the team, you know, say the Bulls are the 2 seed and the Hawks end up making it to the play-in and they have to go against the Hawks in the first round, Trae Young is the type of player who can be the best guy on the court in any given game, and he showed that exactly tonight. This is the threat that the Hawks are come playoff time, this exact type of game to me.
He was Ice Trae, which is why he was giving his little shivers there with his arms and, you know, makes me want to go out there and shove him to the ground. But you know what? He was right. Yeah, I got something to say about Trae. I actually did at the end of the show here that might get him back here. But before that, I got a couple more points here, Trae. I did bash the defense, but I did see some good things tonight actually on the defensive end earlier in the game. They did make it wasn't a great defensive rotation, but a smarter rotation. Kobe White left DeLon Wright open in the corner, which is a smart decision to make to go help on a drive from Bogey when he blew past Tristan Thompson. So I thought that was a really good decision, and that shows some awareness. So it's not all bad there. It's just that, you know, I think it was Kobe White that in the fourth that left Bogey White open in the corner. So he's got to be aware of who that is. And then I want to go ahead and shout out again, Mr. Ayo Dosunmu, on his defense on Trae through three quarters. That fourth quarter, obviously, Trae just went bananas. But Ayo through three quarters, just fantastic defense on Trae Young. Face guarding him full court, which I just love to see. There was times when Trae couldn't even get the ball inbounded to him because Ayo is just right in his face. I haven't played at the NBA level, Trae. Obviously, I've played basketball before. When you are a ball handler and you don't get to touch the ball, it is a real mental hurdle for you. It's a real mental block, especially when you're a guy like Trae Young that is so reliant on your offense. And that's not me, but I've known players like that before. When you don't get to touch the basketball, and it's like, you know, man, I have to work to actually even get the ball. It's such a huge hurdle. So I want to commend Mr. Ayo Dosunmu on that defense there.
Yeah, forcing Trae Young to have to work that hard. And then even when he did work that hard, not being able to get the ball, it's a little demoralizing. It's going to agitate you. And I think, you know, up until the fourth quarter, he played great defense. He even played great defense in the fourth quarter. The Hawks were just making it a point to get Trae Young shots. And as soon as he would get, you know, any opening, he was just firing. And he drew a couple fouls on Ayo, especially one. I remember one distinctly when Ayo was trying to fight over a screen and Trae just stopped and popped just because he knew that Ayo was going to have to run into him. And, you know, it was a great quarter from a great player. Trae Young, hats off. Congratulations, Hawks, on a good win. And it sucks the Bulls weren't able to pick this one up because the Bucks are going to be motivated. Yeah. You know, they just had a great game against Miami. I think they're going to want to continue to be on that roll. And they didn't play tonight. We did. So it's a tough game tomorrow.
Second half of a back-to-back. Are we in Milwaukee or Chicago? I don't
I think it's at Chicago.
Okay. Well, at least we're home. But second half of a back-to-back, though, against the Milwaukee Bucks. Ooh, that is going to be brutal. I'm hoping the Bulls can pull out a win. Yeah, it looks like we are in Chicago. I'm hoping the Bulls can pull out a win. But that is going to be tough, Trae. I agree. So we'll see. We'll be back with you tomorrow though to break that down. But before we do go, Trae, I wanted to also pick your brain here and chat with you a little bit about my Twitter post earlier that you liked with Rick Barry commenting about the difference in the games. I don't want to go too much into this. I think there's a lot of different angles you can take with this. But I did say I was going to mention Trae Young in the same breath here. So one thing that he'd mentioned, and if you haven't seen it, my Twitter is at BSBP Keith. Go there. Scroll down a little bit. I was posting about the Bulls game. But before the Bulls game started, I saw this comment by Rick Barry about how the game used to be played versus how it's played now. So he's talking about offensive screens being set, right, and how the screener needs to be set and how basically even that verbiage is wrong because you don't set a screen. You're supposed to basically just be a stationary object and go to a spot on the floor and stand there. And the ball handler is the one that actually runs their guy off of you to make that screen work. Because nowadays you got people when they're trying to set a screen, they're actually actively trying to set a screen, and they are moving their feet oftentimes when they go to set that screen. And I think it's really, I don't disagree with the fact that it's changed. I don't really care about that. I just think that, you know, it happens all the time now, and it's really consistent the way it's called when you're talking about moving screens and offensive fouls on screens. So what that brings me to is basically, you know, I think that I agree with him in that sense. I think it's a different game. I think it's really stupid to compare people from past generations to this generation. But if you look like a guy like Trae Young, I think that Trae Young would really struggle in the older NBA where it was more physical. You could put hands on the ball handler. Right now, you're talking about how the Hawks win basketball games with, you know, basically baiting the refs into calling fouls. I think he would have really struggled back in the 80s and 90s. What do you think?
I mean, if you take this Trae Young and he's able to shoot from the logo, I think NBA teams are going to – I think he's going to just blow them away because teams aren't going to know what to do. But who was the guy who did that real early on in the early 90s? Sharif?
Abdul-Rahim?
That's what I wanted to
say. For the Hawks?
Yeah. So it's not like it was an unprecedented situation, but Trae –
Well, here's the thing, Trae.
I don't think Trae Young would struggle because he's so good at manipulating defenses. So, like, running that pick and roll. And back then, you didn't, you know, you had to play man-to-man. So he would have been able to run a pick and roll, get a center isolated on him, and then they wouldn't have been able to double him. So I think Trae Young would have been just fine back then.
He probably would have scored just fine. But, I you know, back then even, you could basically undercut a guy that was making jump shots. So that's something he would have to deal with too. I think, you know, it's obviously, again, this is just, it's a dumb conversation. This is all for entertainment, not necessarily something you can even quantify or really talk about totally logically. So I think he would have adjusted is basically what I'm saying. I mean, human beings are human beings and they adjust to the situations that they're given. And a talented basketball player is a talented basketball player. But having the size that he has and, you know, I think he relies a lot on the whistle right now. I would like to see him play in a game like that that's more physical and just see how he adjusts to it because I think he probably could. But I think he might struggle a little bit, man. So I don't know. Just my personal opinion. Again, not something you can even really say definitively one way or another. But, yeah, I'm just going to say that to tick off Hawks fans, I guess, because, you know, I'm mad at them. So there you go.
Oh, no, I think he would definitely struggle a little bit on the defensive end. But is he going to try and put on more weight if he's playing back then? You know, there's so many different variables.
Right.
It's very hard for me to take guys and move them back. It's a lot easier for me to try and imagine like moving them forward. Like, you know, pretending Larry Bird got to move to today and had today's advancements, I think he'd just be an absolute monster.
You know what we should do, Trae? I know we're going to plan on doing a longer show on Saturday, I believe, sometime this weekend. But what we should do is we should bring a LeBron James stan onto the show and talk and have the GOAT conversation. We should just have the GOAT conversation. It's hanging out there. Everyone knows it's MJ LeBron. Some people want to say Kobe, whatever, fine. Maybe we'll have a Kobe stan on here too. But
I don't know.
We do not entertain
the notion that Kobe was the third best player ever. He wasn't even better than Tim Duncan.
So we should have the GOAT conversation. But anyways, until that happens and until next time, until tomorrow when we talk to you guys again, quickly before we sign off, I want to also remind you all to use coupon code HOOPBALL20 at manscaped.com for 20% off your order and free shipping. And also check out our pals at mybookie.ag. Use code HOOPBALL on the third page of sign up to unlock deposit match bonuses there as well. I am Keith Cork. You can find me on Twitter at BSBPKeith. Trae, where can the people find you?
On Twitter at FinalFinally.
And, of course, please follow the show, guys, at Eat Those Bulls. Please, please, please go follow it. And until next time, go Bulls.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, where every nail-biting overtime win, breakaway, pick six, three-point shot, underdog win, buzzer beater, shootout, walk-off, and absolutely every play in between is amazing. From football to basketball and hockey to baseball, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Illinois.